Paideina kept driving, pressing her foot down on the gas pedal a little more, despite already going 15 over the speed limit.
A dream and another vision. It's coming.
Moorfield!
It's the Colonel. There's something wrong.
Hines slapped a hand on the shoulder of the driver's seat and pulled himself forward to look at her.
And you know this? How, exactly?
Instinct. Yeah, this is a part of the whole, you know.
Hines' eyes widened and he threw himself back against his seat.
You better be right about this.
I am. I hope I get there in time, because none of this was supposed to happen.
Major Hines didn't say a word when they pulled into the much nicer, obviously more expensive residential neighborhood on post where Lieutenant Colonel McBlair lived. Idina counted herself lucky with that, since she didn't have any other answers for any question he might have come up with. He didn't even tell her to slow the hell down when she raced down the residential street at almost 50 miles per hour. The only sound he made was a low growl and a hiss from the back seat when Idina slammed on the brakes in front of Richard's house. The tires squealed on the asphalt, the SUV rocked violently forward and back again, and she didn't bother to turn off the ignition before leaping out of the vehicle.
Moorfield! What the?
She didn't give him time to finish the question because she was already racing up the incredibly long walkway through the center of Richard's property, the one he called home on Fort Bragg, at least. She hadn't gotten halfway to the front door when she felt the surge of much more powerful energy radiating from the house itself. It was impossible to tell if the Oak had made it inside her uncle's house at this point, but she knew it would.
I can feel it. No idea if that's because it left a piece of itself inside me, or if I'm getting better at picking it out in real life now.
She raced toward the front door and almost ran into it face first before slamming her hands against the door to stop herself. Then she pounded on the door with the side of her fist.
Colonel, it's Moorfield. Can you hear me?
There was no response from inside the house. Fortunately, she didn't hear the thumping of his boots against the floor either.
So I got here in time, or I got here too late?
Maybe he's not home. It's my ass on the line if you end up being wrong. You know that, right?
I'm not wrong, sir. It's here.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but it's... Oh, no. Come on. You don't simply open the door and walk into a battalion commander's house.
It's locked.
Hines pulled out his cell phone and flipped through his contact list.
I'll call him. If he's in there, we...
Idina didn't have to think about sending two quick blasts of green light at the doorknob. There was a sharp crack. Something metal toppled to the floor inside and bounced a few times. Then she braced herself and sent the sole of her boot cracking against the broken doorknob.
Jesus Christ. I'm gonna lose my job.
Idina barely heard him as she darted into the house. The front door slammed against the interior wall, but she didn't pay attention to that either.
Colonel, are you in here?
Well, isn't this an amusing surprise?
She spun to the right and found the same room from her dream and vision. The dark wood, the stuffed bookshelves, the sheer curtains. Her uncle sitting in the same armchair with the same three-ring binder open on his lap. He was grinning at her.
We need to get you out of here.
Oh? Is this a rescue mission then?
I saw it. In a dream. And another vision like... maybe 5 minutes ago. I don't know what.
The front door closed with a gentle click, and Richard's eyes lit up as he looked right past his niece toward the foyer.
Major Hines. Hell of a way to start a Monday morning, don't you think?
If I could explain any of this right now, I'd try.
Well now... Private Moorfield, I would love to know your reasoning for kicking down my front door 2 hours before we're supposed to meet at an entirely different location, I might add.
You're not listening to me. I can feel it here. It's coming. I'm telling you, I know the difference between what's real and what's in my head.
Then why can't I see it?
I don't know, because it hasn't.
The overhead lights flickered, then surged back on with intensely bright green light. Two sharp pops came from the empty fireplace, which immediately filled with green flames roaring high up into the chimney.